Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak on those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, seldom does the Bible refer to individuals by their last names. Magdalene, according to Vincent's Word Studies, is a term that denotes merely her town, She of Magdala. This was located on the western side of the Sea of Galilee, about 3 miles north of Tiberias, and was also rendered as Magadan in various other translations, such as the American Standard Version and the New American Standard Bible. Merle Unger defines, identifies this place as being the same as that of the modern village of El Majel. It's in Matthew 15 and verse 39 that mention is made of Jesus coming to this region of Magadan by boat, after that he had miraculously provided for 4,000 with just 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. But from Luke chapter 8 and verse 2, it appears that this term, Magdalene, which is a feminine derivative of Magdala, not only connects Mary with this specific geographical location, but also had become a name for her, and one which would distinguish her from the several other Marys that are mentioned in the scriptures, because this verse speaks of Mary who was called Magdalene. You know, many people often hold certain beliefs as if that they are directly from the Bible, but in reality they're not. And such is the case with numerous individuals' views toward Mary Magdalene. Some historians, some painters, some writers, some movie makers, and a whole lot of others down through the years have been guilty of greatly misrepresenting who this woman was before she came to the Lord. For Mary Magdalene had been thought of and portrayed by many people as having formerly been a woman of ill repute, a prostitute, but one whose life had been transformed by the mercy and the grace of the Lord when she penitently besought his forgiveness. But friends, this false concept, though it's been prevalent, for example, over the years, hospitals have been formed called Magdalene Hospitals for the purpose of helping prostitutes who are seeking to change their lives for the better. In pointing out some of the hospitals established back in the 18th century London that would be for special categories, such as Bethlehem for the mentally ill, or Greenwich for the sailors and the refugees, Ryan Harris also includes Magdalene Hospitals, founded to rescue penitent prostitutes. During that time, the term hospital, we have to realize, was used also for institutions concerned with the poor and the destitute. So that type of hospital, therefore, would become a home for these women who were sometimes even referred to as Magdalenes. But as we shall see, there is not even any implication in the Bible that Mary had ever been promiscuous. So how could we conclude that she had formerly been given to harlotry? So we want, and you know, we should never depict this worthy woman as ever having done so. Although Mary is first mentioned in Matthew 27 and verse 56, she's mentioned as one of those women who had been at the Lord's crucifixion, and as one who had the statement being made, followed Jesus from Galilee while ministering to him. She is seen first, if you put it in a chronological order, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 2. In this verse, along with verses 1 and 3, we learn that the Lord had been going from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Judas, Herod, Steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. You see, Mary appears to have been a prominent woman, and out of the 8 verses where her name is mentioned with another named individual or individuals in the Bible, Mary is listed first in 7 of those passages. And we can also note that she's sometimes mentioned along with just a few others, when many others weren't mentioned by name at all. For example, in Matthew 27, let's read verses 55 and 56. And many women were there looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom was Mary Magdalene, along with Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. You see, out of the many people who made up this group, only these few are mentioned specifically by name, and Mary Magdalene was the first of all of them. Mary had been mistakenly thought to have been the woman who was a sinner, who had washed the Lord's feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the perfume in the previous chapter of Luke chapter 7. We read those verses beginning at about verse 36. To this woman, forgiveness, we know, was granted, but it appears that the last reference to her in verse 50, when it says, "And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you, go in peace," her name is never mentioned, and how her history unfolded after this event is not given. We don't read of the Lord casting 7 demons out of this woman, nor do we ever read of Mary Magdalene washing the Lord's feet with her hair, with her tears. But when we read about Mary in Luke the 8th chapter, which is the chapter following, she's not just merely named, but she's also introduced. She's introduced as Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. So we're made to realize that this could not be the same woman that chapter 7 is so silent about by not giving her name. You know, demon possession was not merely a figurative way of referring to someone with a mental illness. Rather, it was real demons who actually possessed that person, and as a result could cause physical and or mental problems to those people. It did not always affect people in the same way. It caused some to be dumb. Matthew 9 and verse 33 is such a case. Others were blind and dumb, like in Matthew 12 and verse 12. Some were deaf and dumb, like Mark 9 and verse 25. Others had convulsions and they foamed at their mouth, as we see in Mark 9 and verse 20. So demon possession appears to have often resulted in an impairment to either one's body or one's mind. But never does the Bible show that it caused someone to become a prostitute. It's because I believe of this modernistic thinking that people have of demon possession being merely a mental disorder that Mary has also been misrepresented by some people as being one who was mentally unstable, but she suffered from schizophrenia and only hallucinated that she saw the resurrected Christ. But, you know, when we forget what others have said about her and remember only that which the Bible states about her, Mary is seen as being a prominent, faithful follower of Jesus and very much in her right mind. She is a good example for all and one who appears to be unselfish, caring, and dedicated. She was willing to put the truly important things first in her life. She served to help the Lord in his preaching and teaching. Mary, with the others that were mentioned, had made that last long trek with Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem that we read about in Matthew 27, verses 55 and 56. You know, when you look at a map, that seems to be something like 75 miles. Have you ever walked 5 miles, even with comfortable walking shoes? You know, without a modern means of travel, you know, it certainly was a very hard, a very much more arduous trip. It's been speculated also that Mary was probably a widow, which would allow her to be away from home for these long periods. She was certainly a devoted follower of Jesus, and literally walking with him, as well as walking with him in a spiritual sense also. And after having watched the Lord's crucifixion, not only from a distance, like Matthew 27 verse 55 talks about, but also nearer, when she was standing by the cross with Jesus' mother and some others, as John records in John 19 and verse 25, Mary had then gone to the burial tomb, which was provided, we know, by Joseph of Arimathea. And there she remained, as the passage says, sitting opposite the grave, along with the other Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, in verse 56 of Matthew 27. And also in other verses, it says that it was the preparation day and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how the body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. And then after the Sabbath, the account states in John chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.'" And it's from the other accounts that we are informed that Mary had not gone to the tomb alone at this time, but rather she was accompanied with Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and Salome. And the purpose given is that they might come and anoint him with the spices that they had prepared and brought. It was as they approached the tomb that they noticed that the stone had been rolled away and that the body of Jesus was no longer there. Mary then ran to tell Peter and John, not realizing yet that the Lord had been raised from the dead, but simply thinking that someone had taken the body. And mention, too, is just Mary in John's account is to focus on her, for as the record goes on to show in that same chapter of John 20, she was soon to be the first one that would see the resurrected Jesus. So truly, may we be thankful for Jesus as Mary was, for what he had done for her. Let us be thankful for what he has done for us. We see your time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.